Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." Hello, this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. And we want to welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We'd love to invite you to come visit with us at Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. We have a church website, and the address for that website is mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. And there are radio archives. If you've missed one of the Blessings of Liberty, you can go there and you can get caught up on the studies we're going through. Or if you'd just like to contact us, you can call the church phone number, 828-963-4596. Now, this coming Sunday is Easter, and we'd love for you to come out and visit with us. If you are in the area and you do not have a church home, maybe you're looking for one, we'd love for you to come out. 10 o'clock Sunday mornings, we have Sunday school for all ages. And then at 11, we have our Sunday morning preaching and worship service. So come be with us. Maybe you're going to be visiting or visiting in the area. We have several visitors throughout the year from other areas that maybe hear the radio broadcast, maybe on WZAP over in Bristol or somewhere like that. We're also on 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota, and then right here on WATA. So we appreciate the radio stations. We appreciate each and every one listening in. Now, our regular listeners, you know we've been studying the Constitution, and now we are beginning a study in the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments. And we've been a couple of weeks sort of transitioning into this. We're going to continue on with our study of the First Amendment. That's, of course, where we are beginning. But we said a couple of weeks ago, we spent some time on discussing the subject of the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist. Now, when we're talking about the Constitution, the Federalists gave us the Constitution. They were for a more centralized government that had more authority, more power. The Anti-Federalists gave us the Bill of Rights. This is a group of people that said, we don't know about this. At first, we had the Articles of Confederation, and it was very heavy on the states' right side, and it was hard to get anything done as far as a federal government. And so we have this compromise in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The people who were for the Bill of Rights, they wanted a less powerful government, and they wanted to ensure that there were some guarantees in there concerning our civil rights, our religious freedoms, and our private lives. So we have the Bill of Rights. Now, there's a very interesting story on how the Bill of Rights came into being, and we're going to look at that just a little bit today, especially concerning the First Amendment. Last week, we pointed out the fact that each colony, each state except for Rhode Island, had a state church. And for the most part, in the North, there was the congregational churches. They were the state church, meaning that was the official church for that colony. And in places like Massachusetts or Connecticut, when the Puritans came over, and they established the congregational churches, and they made it a law. You had to go to this church. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine there being a law that said you were compelled to attend a certain church? You were compelled to bring your children to be baptized in a certain church. Your marriage was not legal or lawful unless you were married in a certain church. This is the way it was in America prior to the American Revolution, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. In the southern states, the Church of England had a foothold. North Carolina, Virginia, South Carolina, you had the Church of England, or the Anglican, or its the American counterpart is today the Episcopalian Church. So each colony had a state church. with the exception of Rhode Island. Rhode Island did not have a state church. They were established by the Baptist people, and they, from the very beginning, had religious freedom in Rhode Island. Pennsylvania was established by the Quakers, and the Quakers had a, what's a good way to put it here? They had a policy of toleration. You know, don't bother us, we won't bother you. You come and do what you want to, but this is the official church. So that is the way that it was in America. It's hard for us to imagine that. It's hard for me to imagine. I've never lived. Most people have never lived in a place, if you're an American, where there is an official state church. Well, anyway, these state churches persecuted those in their colony that were not of their religious persuasion, whether it was the Baptists, whether it was the Quakers, or if you had the Anglican in a congregational. And so they persecuted one another. There are many instances in history of people being arrested for not going to church, not bringing their children to be baptized, people being put in prison, people having their land, their personal property confiscated, being fined, being beaten, even instances of capital punishment in America before the American Revolution, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. So things have not always been like they are now. There has not always been freedom of religion in America, although they came seeking freedom of religion. Many of them, they found out when they got here that it was just that what they had fled in England just had taken up residence over here. For example, in North Carolina, May 16, 1771, those of you that know about our state history, was the Battle of Alamance. Now, the Battle of Alamance, May 16, 1771, you recognize that's before the Declaration of Independence. This is all leading up to that. But in North Carolina, the ruler in North Carolina was Governor Tryon. And you've heard of Tryon, North Carolina. Well, Governor Tryon, he waged war on the Baptist people. There was a group called the Regulators. Now, G.W. Paschal, he was a professor at Wake Forest. He wrote two volumes on Baptist history. Of course, Wake Forest originally was a Baptist university. And G.W. Paschal, he wrote two volumes on Baptist history. One came out in the 1930s. The other came out in the 1950s. And he called the Regulators, or the Battle of Alamance, the war against the Baptists. And the Baptist people in North Carolina had been opposing, among other things, there were several things that they opposed in that state church government that they were under. But some of the most grievous things to them, there was a parish tax. Now, the parish tax was a tax that they had to pay by law to support the Anglican Church in North Carolina. How would you like for it to be law that you had to pay taxes to support a church that you did not attend, that you did not agree with? And they would take this tax money, and they built meeting houses. It supported a Anglican minister in that community. I mean, their taxes went to support a church that many of them, they didn't agree with. And boy, you talk about it was grievous unto them. So they began to oppose that. They began to try to get some relief from that. They said, look, we're not Anglican. We're Baptist. We're being made to support this state church. So there was the parish tax, and they opposed that. Also, there was the Marriage Act of 1741. Now, the Marriage Act of 1741 gave exclusive rights to marriages came from the Church of England. So if you wanted to get married, you had to go to the Church of England in North Carolina, the Anglicans, to get officially married. Otherwise, it wasn't legal. And so if you wanted to go to the Baptist, pastor or the Baptist church and get married. No, you couldn't do that. Well, that also was something that they opposed. Now, these regulators, as they came to be known, they had been assembling together. And you have to realize, and there's a lot of history involved in this, but in the 1750s, there was a great revival that began in North Carolina. Historically, it's called the Separate Baptist Revival. The pastor that it began with was a man named Shubal Stearns, and it started in Sandy Creek, North Carolina, which is just sort of south east of Greensboro today, down in that area. And this Separate Baptist Revival, thousands and thousands of people come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ in this revival. They recognize the false doctrines that they had been being taught in the Anglican Church, and especially the Anglican Church requiring their babies to be brought and baptized, infant baptism. They recognize that is not being biblical. And so you had this revival. You had thousands and thousands of people coming away from or out of the Anglican Church becoming Baptists, but the Anglican Church was the official state church. And so they begin to meet together, these Baptist people, and they begin to assemble together and peacefully petition Governor Tryon concerning their grievances. Well, actually, when we think about the First Amendment, most people, they would say freedom of religion, or they would say freedom of speech. But there are actually five parts in the First Amendment. And I've got it here. I'm just going to read it and point these out. First of all, it says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. That's first part. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. There's a comma there. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And so, Congress, the government, can make no law saying you baptize infants. That used to be the law in North Carolina, that infants would be baptized in the Anglican Church. Well, that's the second part. Then it says, or abridging the freedom of speech. In America, freedom of speech is highly prized, and we ought to make sure that we guard freedom of speech in America. That's one of the things that makes us unique among all the other nations of the earth. And then it says this, number four, or of the press. And so this is talking about the newspaper, the radio news, the television, whatever, anybody that's involved in the press or journalism, that they would not be coerced, that they would have freedom to report and to expose. And so a free press is very necessary to a free nation. And then fifthly, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And so the First Amendment protects the right of the people to peaceably assemble, to come together, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, in North Carolina, the regulators had been doing that. They had no freedom of religion. And also, when they began to get together and say, what are we going to do? Governor Tryon passed a law that they could not assemble together. And so when we study about the First Amendment, there is a reason why it has these five parts, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, that Congress will make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Or the right of the people peaceably to assemble. They had been doing this, and then they passed a law and said, you can't get together anymore. Now, the Baptist people had an interest in the guarantee or the preservation of civil and religious freedom above all others, because they were the ones that were being persecuted the most. In each of these colonies, they were bearing the brunt of the persecution. John Locke, who, if you study our history as a nation, he was a Christian philosopher. His writings greatly influenced our founding fathers. And John Locke said this about the Baptist people. He said, "The Baptists were the first and only propounders of absolute liberty." You see, you didn't get that out of the congregational churches or the official state church out of Massachusetts or Connecticut. You didn't get religious freedom out of the Anglican churches or Anglican state church in the South. But in all of the colonies, you had Baptist people. And in all of the colonies, these Baptist people, they were being persecuted. They were bearing the brunt of this imprisonment, fines, taxes to support a state church. So the Baptist people, first and foremost, they were the propounders. And John Locke said the only propounders, promoters of absolute liberty. The Baptists were the first and only propounders of absolute liberty. Well, I want to backtrack just a little bit. We're talking about the story of the First Amendment, how this came into being. Now, the Constitution, when it was sent out from the Constitutional Convention, it had to be ratified by 9 of the 13 colonies. Each state was to appoint delegates to a Constitutional Convention to ratify the Constitution. Each state had a responsibility to take part. Virginia was one of the key states. And in Orange County, Virginia, they appointed a Baptist pastor named John Leland to be their representative. Now, Thomas Armitage, he's a Baptist historian, and he said this about John Leland. He said he was probably the most popular preacher who ever resided in Virginia. So at this time, John Leland, he was a leader among the Baptists, and he also had influence in civil. You know, people trusted him. They trusted what he had to say about things. We live in a day and time where we hear this all the time. Preachers shouldn't say anything about the government. Preachers shouldn't say anything about anything like that. You know, just preach the gospel and don't say anything about society. Don't say anything about government. Don't say anything about politics. But, you know, early on in our nation, the pastors had a great influence on society. And John Leland, the thing about John Leland, he lived, what's interesting about him, he lived in Orange County, Virginia. And he was neighbors with James Madison. James Madison, of course, is called the father of the Constitution. He's the one that wrote it. Okay? John Leland is neighbors in Orange County, Virginia, with James Madison and Thomas Jefferson. John Leland knows these men. They're neighbors. And so they live in the same county there. They live with it. You know, they know each other. They're on a first name basis. These men that we know more about today, Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, also lived in Orange County, Virginia. They were all neighbors. But the people of Orange County did not appoint James Madison to represent them. They did not appoint Thomas Jefferson to represent them. They chose the Baptist preacher, John Leland. Now, John Leland and the Baptist people were concerned that there was no guarantees of religious liberty in the Constitution. They would be classified as anti-federalists. The Federalists, as I've already said, they gave us the Constitution. They said, we want a stronger, more centralized, more powerful government. The anti-federalists, they said, we've got some concerns. There's no guarantees of several liberties. There's 10 amendments there. And when the states first came together, there was over 70 amendments that they wanted to the Constitution. They narrowed it down to 12, and they ended up with 10. And that's what we call the Bill of Rights. But the first one, the one most people are familiar with, the first and the second, had to do with, the first one had to do with religious liberty. Well, John Leland and the Baptist people, they were concerned. There's no guarantees for religious liberty in the Constitution. Now, James Madison ended up going and representing Orange County, Virginia, instead of John Leland, and how James Madison ended up going to represent Orange County, Virginia, instead of John Leland, is the interesting point of history that I wanted to share with you and tell you about. There is a marker beside the road in Orange County, Virginia, beside the highway. I think it's Highway 100 or 101, but I'm not exactly sure. I'm just going by my memory there. I didn't make a note of it. But beside the highway in Orange County, Virginia, there is a marker. Now, these markers are all over the place. We have some right here in Boone, North Carolina. You'll see these historical markers beside the road. Well, there's a historical marker beside the road, and this is what it says. It says 1754 to 1841, Elder John Leland, courageous leader of the Baptist doctrine, ardent advocate of the principles of democracy, vindicator of separation of church and state. Near this spot in 1788, Elder John Leland and James Madison, the father of the American Constitution, held a significant interview which resulted in the adoption of the Constitution by Virginia. Then Madison, a member of Congress from Orange, presented the First Amendment to the Constitution guaranteeing religious liberty, free speech, and a free press. This satisfied Leland and his Baptist followers, and it's presented by Eugene Buckland Bowden, President, Berkshire County, Massachusetts Chapter, Sons of the American Revolution. So what happened between John Leland and James Madison? James Madison came to John Leland, and he wanted to be the one to go and represent and make the case for the Constitution. Here's the man that wrote the Constitution. Here's the man that's called the father of the Constitution. But he's not appointed to go and argue for the Constitution. John Leland was. So James Madison came to John Leland. They had an interview together, and John Leland agreed to let James Madison go in his place if James Madison promised to put in there a guarantee for freedom of religion, free speech, and we have the First Amendment. And that's what that plaque beside the road, this historical account, is talking about. Now, that was in a day and a time where a man's word was worth something. And so just on the promise of his word, James Madison said, if you'll let me go, we'll make sure we put this in as an amendment. And it is the First Amendment in the Bill of Rights. And so it says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. And very, very few people in our nation know the history behind such things as our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, that people fought for these things for a specific reason. And so we can say, some of you remember Paul Harvey used to come on, and he always had interesting stories, and he would say, now you know the rest of the story. And so we're looking at the subject of the First Amendment. Now I have just a few moments left, and I want to say just a little bit about, I don't know how many of our listeners know about or has kept up with what has gone on in the past week, 12 days out in Clark County, Nevada. There's a rancher out there. His name is Mr. Cliven Bundy. He's been in a dispute with the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, for over 20 years concerning the use of public land out there. Mr. Bundy's his position is that the land belongs to the people of Nevada. Clark County, in his county, and that's where he operates. That's where his family has lived since the late 1800s. Well, the Bureau of Land Management, they've come in. They've just recently, they stole his cattle. They've done all kinds of things, and it's just very interesting what has went on out there. But one thing that sort of brought all of this to a head is that the Bureau of Land Management, they go in, this is a controversy that's went on for 20 years out there between Mr. Bundy and the federal government, the Bureau of Land Management, and I think I've got enough time. I lived in Idaho for almost 4 years, and the Bureau of Land Management in the West, this is really hard for us to understand living in the East. That's what, if you live out West, that's what they refer to us. They say they're from back East. Doesn't matter where you're from, if you're from the North or the South, to people out West, it's just back East. It's hard for us to understand the Bureau of Land Management, but the Bureau of Land Management, which is a division of the Department of the Interior, has a terrible reputation in the West for being bullies, for being heavy-handed, and for just acting like a bunch of Gestapo towards the people. And there's this continual controversy, whatever the BLM does, and it's just interesting. We don't know about it living back here, but since I lived out there, I got to see a little bit of, about it. But the BLM came in, and what they did, they knew that there was going to be some controversy. They brought in over 200 people armed with looking like a military force, and they set up an area. They knew there were going to be protesters, and they went about 3 miles away from where they were operating at, and they said they set up an area. They roped off an area and put up a sign that said, First Amendment area. And boy, that really chafed a lot of the people out there that the BLM had set up an area and said, all right, you protesters, if you want to protest, you're going to have to go down the road. You get inside that corral, and there you can have your First Amendment rights. Well, even the governor of Nevada got involved in this, and he said that's reprehensible. That's awful that the BLM would do this. Let me say today, as we close, there's really no such thing as a First Amendment area. I thought America was a First Amendment area. I thought we had free speech, whether it's out here on the sidewalk, going up and down the road. We have a First Amendment. We have First Amendment rights, and one of those is the right to free speech. But we see more and more in America these areas being set up as First Amendment areas. College campuses are, this is becoming very commonplace on college campuses, that they will set up an area and they'll say that's First Amendment area. If you want to pass out any literature, if you want to talk about anything, if you want to hand out a gospel tract, okay, you can do it, but you got to go over there within the ropes. Let me say, our forefathers fought against that very, very thing. And wherever you find these things, they really ought to be challenged. If we don't stand up for our rights, we will lose our rights. And once we lose them, once that gets in the mindset of people that there's such thing as a First Amendment area, it'll just, people will bow down. They won't think a thing about it. So this is very serious. And we see our First Amendment rights. We see the press being suppressed. We see religion being attacked. We're just living in days in America that I would have never thought that we'd come to see. Well, our time is quickly come and gone today. I do appreciate you listening in. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone number is 828-963-4596. If you'd like to get in contact with us, that's 828-963-4596. We do appreciate you listening in today. Hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.
MCN News, I'm Mike Raley. A wreath-laying ceremony today for victims of the Boston Marathon bombing. The relatives of those killed also in the city today on this, the one-year anniversary of the bombings. Elaine Cajano has more.
100 new surveillance cameras going up. And police made it very clear that there isn't going to be as much security here today as there will be on race day, Monday. But they did feel it very important to have a big presence here today because there will be a lot of survivors. There are a lot of survivors and victims and their loved ones. It's important.